This album's celebrating an anniversary.
Kia ora, everyone. Kia ora, Sam.
Hola.
Yeah.
How's it going?
I'm real good. So you've got something very special for us today.
Yeah, we're looking at the debut album from The Clash.
Hey.
And it's called The Clash, of course. So this album was released in 1977, so it's turning 40 years old this year. Long time ago.
Yeah, and but it's influenced many, many teenagers.
It has, yes.
Like me. I listen to The Clash all the time.
Yeah. It's one of those really influential albums. So just a bit of background, I guess, on The Clash. So The Clash formed in 1976, and the lineup for this record was Joe Strummer, of course, on vocals and guitar, Mick Jones on lead guitar and vocals, Paul Simonon on bass guitar, and Terry Chimes on drums. So The Clash were part of the original punk rock movement in London in the late 70s, and within the scene you had bands like The Damned and The Sex Pistols, of course. And in fact, actually, The Clash's first ever gig was supporting The Sex Pistols in 1976. And the scene was very much based on a healthy live music scene and a community of people who, I guess, resented a lot of aspects of mainstream society and mainstream music and wanted something else. And this culture, I guess, developed around punk, trying to provide that for them. And you have to remember that at the time, Britain was very conservative. Economically, the country was in a bit of a bad patch, and a lot of youth felt neglected and marginalised by society. And things obviously weren't going to get better once Margaret Thatcher came to power in 1979. So also musically, it was a reaction to kind of overblown classic rock and prog rock, which many punk rock artists felt was pretentious and, like I said, overblown. And on a musical level, they couldn't really relate to it. With punk, it was okay to not be able to play your own instrument at any high level. You certainly didn't need to have gone to music school and studied classical music as many prog artists had.
I guess it's just about doing it rather than, you know, criticising what's happening,
exactly.
I guess.
Yeah, exactly.
It would be nice if a lot of people took that approach to music.
Yeah. And so from this perspective, it was a way into music for a lot of young people. But ultimately, it turned out also that, ironically, a lot of punk rock artists actually secretly enjoyed prog rock, a lot of prog rock bands.
Oh, like a guilty pleasure.
Yeah, guilty pleasure. They wouldn't like openly admit it in public, but they secretly like listen to Genesis or Pink Floyd or whatever. Which is fine.
They can do what they want.
Absolutely. So in terms of the album, this was all happening in 1976, but it was 1977 where The Clash started to get some momentum and record their debut album. In January of that year, they signed to CBS Records, and this was despite having only played around 30-odd shows and none as a headliner. So the record label, a big record label like CBS Records, was definitely taking a punt on a band like The Clash, who weren't that experienced at that stage. Incidentally, some in the punk community actually resented this record deal, and in fact, Mark Perry, who founded a punk periodical called Sniffing Glue, would go on to say punk died The Clash the day The Clash signed to CBS Records.
Well, punk was just constantly in a state of decay, wasn't it?
It was,
so,
yeah.
So when it exactly died, it was a different story, I guess.
Yeah, well, when it started, everyone was saying...
Some people think it still hasn't died.
And I know.
Even if you tell them it's dead, they're like, no.
No, it's still going.
Yeah.
When it started, so, a lot of people were declaring like year zero. And like 1977 was we're starting all over again.
Yeah, we're starting again.
And that's everything before that's like old hat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, okay.
Yeah, so everyone has a perspective, I guess, on that. So,
whoopsie. I just walked into that.
So with the record deal, they set forth to record this debut album, The Clash. It was recorded over 3 weekend sessions. It cost about $4,000 to record, so pretty cheap. And the style of this record is pretty much standard punk rock. So you've got heavy guitars, typical 2-minute tracks, a lot of them, very socially conscious and political lyrics, talking about the ills of society. But already at this early stage, the band were bringing in other influences such as ska and reggae and rock and roll into their music. Of course, on their later albums, such as London Calling and Sandinista, they would go much further in this direction. But even at this early stage, when they're predominantly playing sort of just punk guitar rock music, they're still bringing in those ska and reggae influences, which we'll be able to hear on a couple of the tracks. So we're going to start with a track called I'm So Bored With The USA.
Rather relevant today.
Relevant, yep. And this, interestingly enough, the song was originally called I'm So Bored With You, and it was a love song written by Mick Jones about his girlfriend.
Aww.
But according to Joe Strummer, they changed the title after he misheard the title when Jones played it to him for the first time. And with this, it turned into this kind of anti-American song, so to speak, condemning aspects of US society, such as drug problems in the US Army, the American government supporting dictatorships, the Watergate scandal, all those things are mentioned. Mm. And so already from this early stage, you can tell the sort of political themes and imagery, which would be a constant feature throughout the band's history. And this...
baseball shirt. I'd rather wear nothing but look like I'm ready to fight. I'm so bored with the USA. I'm so bored with the USA. You want me? You want me to do? The West Coast, they must be mad. They make $1,000 a week.
Saying something about this.
That's a demo of the track, so an early demo. So you can see very raw, very kind of in your face,
yes,
kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah. And we just got a text. A lot of punks hated the Clash and prog rock. Lol. Dot dot dot. Be careful of making assumptions and generalizing. I think you're supposed to say generalizing, but whatever. We're very careful about that.
I said that.
They also said, gave us three kisses and a smiley face, but you know.
I did say they hated prog.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah.
Whakarongo mai.
Whakarongo mai.
Yeah.
Tūtoko. Yeah, yeah.
All right.
And so yeah, a lot of people didn't like the Clash at all.
No.
And I said that as well in terms of the record. A lot of people saying that when they signed to CBS Records, that was the day that punk died, and they resented the fact. Some people saying that they were selling out.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they weren't universally loved, so to speak, in the punk community. But no one's ever universally loved.
Well, reach for the stars, climb every mountain high.
Exactly. Yeah. All right, yeah, the next track we're going to play was the first single the band ever released. It's called White Riot, and it made it into the top 40 to the UK, and it actually gained a bit of controversy at the time as people thought it was advocating some kind of race war. But actually, it was Joe Strummer trying to appeal to a lot of white youths to find a worthy cause to kind of stand up and fight for, or riot for.
Oh, right.
Hence the name White Riot. And actually, it was written after Joe Strummer and Paul Simonon were involved in the very famous Notting Hill Carnival riots of 1976, where a lot of there was a lot of police attacking the black community, the Jamaican community of London.
Yeah.
And it got quite confrontational, and they were involved in that, yeah. So after that, they decided to write this kind of anthem directed towards white youth, I guess.
All right.
Yeah.
So, Sam was just on the phone with a caller discussing The Clash, because that's what we're doing for anniversary albums.
Yeah, it's good to get comments and reaction.
Yeah, it is. So thank you very much for calling up and also texting in. For those of you who have been doing that, if you would like to text in, it's 5395. That's all you need to know.
Yeah.
Really?
All right, so that was White Riot. The next track we're going to play, we're going to go straight along. We've got a lot of tracks to get through.
Yeah.
This one's called Career Opportunities. And this, again, is sort of attacking the political and economic situation in England at the time, in particular, the lack of jobs available to youth and the sort of the dreariness of those that were, like just your standard 9-to-5 job, et cetera, et cetera.
The Iron Lady, a nickname that became associated with her uncompromising politics and leadership style. This is about Thatcher.
Yeah. And she was going to come in onto this later on. This was a couple of years before Thatcher, but already the seeds were kind of being sown.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. So that comes in a bit later.
But it's still very relevant and it all connects. Yeah. So in this track, they mention things like military service, police service, driving buses, and making tea, those sorts of things. So yeah, very kind of youth anthem, I guess. Yeah.
Every job they offer used to keep you up the dock. Career opportunity, the one that never knocked. I hate the army and I hate the RAF. I don't wanna go fighting in the tropical heat. I hate the 7-7 boom. I won't open that bomb for you. Career opportunity, the one that never knocked. Every job they offer used to keep you at the dock. Career opportunity, the one that never knocked. Every job they offer used to kick you out the door. Career opportunity, the world that never knocked. Career.
there was the first commercial punk band, The Clash. Everyone's really having an opinion about that, to be honest.
Yeah.
They're like, someone takes it in, CBS promoted The Clash not for revolution, just for cash. Crass, haha. You know, and that's true.
A lot of people,
resented
them kind of selling out, and eventually they would go on to play like stadiums and
They're very marketable.
Very marketable. And with a lot of these movements, once the record labels get their hands on them, they want to like promote it so big and like make like
yucky
punk, fake punk bands and like,
fake punk.
And then it became like new wave and new romantics and like,
I don't know.
What happens, I guess, with underground movements.
Yeah.
The mainstream gets hold of them and like, ooh, their tentacles kind of spread.
Yeah, the tentacles start spreading, huh?
Yeah.
That's right.
Just a point on that song, you can see a lot of these tracks very quick and like under 2 minutes and very kind of abrupt endings kind of thing.
Yes.
And that's like when a lot of the aesthetics of early punk rock was very much like that, yeah.
Mm.
All right, so the next track, this is actually a cover of a Jamaican reggae singer called Junior Mervin. And this track's called Police and Thieves. And it's a great example of how, even like I was saying earlier, how they were incorporating the reggae sound into their music, because they were very reggae fans. And the band played this a lot in rehearsals, and originally it was actually not going to be on the record. But after an impromptu jam during a break in recording sessions, they decided to include it and record a version. And this is Police and Thieves. Turns out really well.
Genesis to Revelation, the next generation.
6 minutes of reggae heaven.
Well, I reggae mean, it's punk not heaven. Reggae.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Reggae punk. So that's their cover of Junior Mervyn's track Police and Thieves.
But yeah, we got a couple of ticks in. The album that defined a generation, the one that should be studied in schools to teach the kids today a bit of history. Also, someone just texted him bluntly, fuck, I miss Joe. Sorry about swearing, but that's what they said. And also another person said, The Clash had honesty, political messages. There was no Adele hype. The world has gone mad. R.I.P. Joe Richard. Oh, thanks, man.
Yeah, a lot of people relate to their lyrics, their social political conscious lyrics, and
yeah.
Just the themes they addressed.
Definitely.
Yeah, yeah, good stuff. All right, so the next track we're going to listen to is called Garage Land. And this is the closing track on the UK version of the album. The song is about Joe Strummer responding to a poor review of the band by journalist Charles Shaw Murray, who said they were the kind of garage band that should be returned to the garage immediately. he said that after seeing them live. And he took this comment and he kind of put a positive spin on it by saying, this is where we come from and we know it, we're proud of it, and we're not going to go out of our depth. So he was kind of like, yeah, we're a garage band, but so what?
Here we are, from the garage.
Exactly.
It's a whole land of it.
We'll stay in the garage then.
New boots. They come from garage land.
Yes, back into garage land. We just got a text in. To be fair, you're going to get stick for every punk album released in 77. The Jam, The Dam, Sex Pistols, Buzzcocks, etc., victims of their own success. Still, The Clash is a class debut. Whatever went after, punk's not dead, it just stands in the back. Or at the back.
Interesting Sorry. Comment, yeah.
Very interesting
I'd probably
comment.
Agree with that, yeah.
Okay, stands at the back, like in the past, and at the back, or like...
Oh, no, kind of just, it's always there, it's always here, but it's kind of
hanging
like...
Out.
It just hangs around, you know?
Hangs out at the party?
Yeah, but yeah. It's not like kind of at right in the front of things, you know, so to speak. Yes, I mean, there's still a lot of punk bands around today, but they're not... They're kind of just hanging around, you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's been very interesting talking about this. And we'll come back shortly
to
with
wrap
Sam
up.
Smith. Yeah, to wrap up the awesome segment of anniversary albums, reviewing the debut self-titled album of The Clash. All right, here we go.
Hey, you want to make a boomtastic and chill tonight?
I don't know what that is.
You, me, some adequate quality movie downloads. I've got Arachnid Hero, Dinosaur Reserve, 40 Variations of Beige.
Look, mate, if you're serious about hooking up, you'll need more than pirate knockoffs and a VGA adapter.
Oh, but how?
Orcon's got this. Sign up to a selected Orcon plan and they'll throw you a shiny new Apple TV, turning your TV into a multimedia smooth streaming entertainment hub of love. Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at orcon.net.nz.
Paint It Gold and Niche present Bonobo, live in Auckland. Ninja Tune artist Simon Green, aka Bonobo, has been touring the world with the music from his masterful, magisterial sixth album, Migration. Now, his place firmly cemented in the very highest echelons of electronic music and indeed beyond, Bonobo touches down with his full live band at the Auckland Town Hall, Thursday, July 27, with very special guest Romare. Tickets on sale now from Ticketmaster.
One time, I ate too much turkey bacon. I didn't poop for 2 weeks. For 4 weeks.
Is this your spawn?
Do I look like I made him?
Well, if this ain't fetal alcohol syndrome, then what is it?
Billy Bob Thornton's booze-soaked Santa, Willie, returns in Bad Santa 2, scheming for a Christmas Eve score with his angry little sidekick, Marcus. Drunker, wilder, and badder than ever, Bad Santa 2 carves off another serving of turkey-sized mayhem, starring Thornton, along with Tony Cox, Kathy Bates, and Christina Hendricks. Bad Santa 2, out now on DVD and Blu-ray, thanks to Madman Entertainment.
Here comes the box with the musical star. With 1,000 tons of fish.
That's to me, one and only.
Stinky Jim.
Stinky Groove.
Stinky Jim, Stinky Groove.
Stinky Jim.
Stinky Groove.
Stinky, Stinky.
Stinky, Stinky,
Stinky, Stinky Groove.
Crisp biscuits and fresh vegetables every Tuesday from 7 p.m.
replayed 4 a.m. Wednesday and always online at 95bfm.com. With thanks to Love Bucket 309 K Road. Check it.
Stinky Jim.
Stinky Groove.
Stinky Jim.
Stinky Groove.
Stinky Jim.
Stinky Jim.
Stinky Jim.
Stinky Jim.
Stinky Jim. Stinky Jim. Stinky Jim. Stinky Jim. Stinky Jim.
Kia ora, my bro.
Are you all right?
Yeah, I'm fine.
You just got your...
I've got really long hair, you guys, and they just got really stuck.
They got tangled up.
They got tangled up in my headphones, but we're not going to talk about that.
No, we're not. We're gonna.
Because it's all good.
Conclude.
I'm safe.
You're safe.
No need to call 111. Yeah.
All right. So, just looking at the reception of this record and just its wider legacy. So, it went to number 12 in the UK charts, and it was universally praised by critics and a lot of punk fans as well. It signaled to the industry that punk rock was here and it had to be taken seriously as a commercial force. However, interestingly enough, the album wasn't actually released in the United States until 1979 because CBS in America, they decided the album was not fit for human consumption.
Oh, yeah, well, a lot of things weren't fit for human consumption back then.
Yeah, and because of this, it actually became a big-selling import in the United States during 1977 with a lot of people just buying it in the UK and just shipping it over.
Ship it over, you
ship
guys.
Ship it over. This is even before Amazon.
Yeah, we've come here with the punk and we've got some for you.
Yeah. So in terms of its legacy, it's now considered one of the great punk rock albums. Enemy voted it the third best album of the 70s, Q Magazine the 48th greatest British album, and Mojo voted it the second greatest punk record, and Rolling Stone voted it the 77th greatest album. So as you can see, widely respected by a lot of the music press and the critics.
And yes. Do you think we should thank reggae for that?
Yes.
Thank you, reggae.
Definitely.
Okay, cool. Anyway.
So all up, yeah, definitely signaled to people that The Clash were here to stay. They would use the success of this record to expand their sound and grow on future releases, and that led to their very successful albums such as London Calling and also Sandinista, which came later, and they had much more kind of reggae influences, ska, dub, even hip-hop they brought into their music as well.
Mm.
So a very important record for The Clash's career and also for the punk rock movement. So on that note, I thought we would finish with a track that actually was not originally included on the UK version of the album, but was released on the US version. This track is called White Man in Hammersmith Palais. And again, there's incorporation of ska and reggae influences onto this track. There's a big fat reggae bass line that drives the song. And lyrically, the song is actually about, it's based on a true story about a reggae show that they attended in London, and at a place called the Hammersmith Palais. And it also addresses those themes that they address a lot. So violence, wealth distribution in the UK, poverty, those sorts of things. And incidentally, this was actually one of Joe Strummer's favourite Clash songs, and it was played at his funeral.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Well, so rest in peace, Joe Strummer, as well.
Rest in peace, yeah. Yes. And thank you very much for coming in yet again.
No worries.
And talking to us about The Clash.
Pleasure.
We just got one more text to read out.
Oh, cool.
Jonesy was amazing in the studio. He kept everything so tight, which made the album stand the test of time. As soon as they got on stage, it was chaos. Joe and Paul took over and went mental. A bloody good laugh, though.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
A bloody good laugh, mate.
Well, yeah. Have a good week. And
yeah,
I'll see you
too.
Yeah, I'll see you in a week's time. Seven days. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Bye.
Good morning. Ko Alessandra Nixon tokuingwa ko te ko matahi karaka. It's 11 o'clock. Chinese state-owned enterprises are looking at cruise ship housing as an option for hundreds of Auckland City Rail Link workers. The Chinese companies are among several bidders lining up for Auckland's $3.5 billion rail project. As part of their bid, firms are considering how they can avoid adding to Auckland's accommodation shortage. City Rail Link spokesperson Carol Greensmith says they expect to have over 1,000 workers on the project at its peak. A workers' union says Auckland Council's proposed changes to its Easter trading will discriminate against churchgoers. The council is considering allowing retailers to operate on Easter Sunday, despite the rest of the country getting the day off. First Union Retail and Finance Secretary Maxine Gay says the changes could compromise the religious rights of workers.
Shop workers who have Christian faith are feeling very vulnerable. They have no real faith that the Section 54, which says that they have a right to refuse work, will be respected. It's a day of deep significance for people of the Christian faith.
Gay says many employees and their families make plans around the day every year. Ka whakawhiti ki Tawahi Inainei. In international news, thousands have gathered in Russian cities to protest government corruption. The protests were not sanctioned by Russian officials and have resulted in the arrest of dozens of protesters, including opposition party leader Alexei Navalny. These protests come after a report revealed the Russian Prime Minister had funneled more than $1 billion in bribes through charities. These are the largest anti-government protests in Russia since the anti-Kremlin protests in 2012. Iraq officials say around 200 civilians have been killed in US-led airstrikes in West Mosul. After increased pressure, the US-led coalition has now admitted that it carried out the air raids last week. The acknowledgement comes just hours after the UN says it was stunned by the reported deaths of civilians. Over 50,000 civilians have been killed in Iraq since 2008. And finally, Google is losing millions of dollars in advertising revenue as companies continue to pull their ads from the video sharing platform. Content by major brands was found to be appearing next to videos promoting extremist views or hate speech, with a cut of the advertising spend going to the creators. An investigation by The Times saw a number of high-profile advertisers in Europe pull out of YouTube. The row has now reached the US, with major brands Pepsi, Johnson & Johnson and Verizon pulling millions of dollars worth of advertising from the platform. And that's the news.
Sleet, low pressure systems, depressions and more in this 95BFM weather update. Thanks to ProGear.
Your weather forecast for Rahina Monday 27th of March. Partly cloudy and humid with showers developing and northerly winds with a good chance of thunder later on. We'll have a high of 25 degrees and an overnight low of 17 degrees. Sunset this evening will be at 23 minutes past 7. Your weather outlook for the next 3 days. Tuesday will be warm with sunny periods, then some showers likely and east-northeasterlies. Wednesday will be partly cloudy with some later showers developing and light winds. Thursday will be mostly, then partly cloudy and cooler with light winds and a chance of a shower. That's your news and weather. I'm Alessandra Nixon. It's 3 minutes past 11.
Are you wearing the right amount of layers? I hope so. That was a 95BFM weather update. Thanks to ProGear, unparalleled quality and professional photographics. Online at progear.co.nz.
Kia ora, everyone. Welcome back to Morning Glory. My name's Geneva. I'll be taking you to midday today. And yeah, we just recently had anniversary albums with Sam Smith reviewing the debut album of The Clash. And I thought, hey, why don't I play Max Romeo and The Upsetters? Because they're deeply influenced by these musicians. And yeah, here's I Chase the Devil. It's going to be followed by Bonobo Corella.
Lucifer, son of the morning, I'm gonna chase you out of earth. I'm gonna put on an iron shirt and chase Satan out of earth. I'm gonna put on an iron shirt and chase the devil out of earth. I'm gonna send him to outer space to find another race. I'm gonna send him to outer space to find another race. Satan is an evilous man, but him can't choke sit on I man. So when I check him, my lass in hand, and if him slip a gun with him hand, I'm gonna put on a iron shirt and chase Satan out of earth. I'm gonna put on a iron shirt and chase the devil out of earth. I'm gonna send him to outer space to find another race. I'm gonna send him to outer space. Shirt and chase Satan out of earth. I'm gonna put on an iron shirt and chase the devil out of earth. I'm gonna send him to outer space to find another race. I'm gonna send him to outer space to find another race. Satan is an evilous man, but him can't choke sit on I man. So when I check him, my lass in hand, and if him slip a gun with him hand, I'm gonna put on an iron shirt and chase Satan out of earth. I'm gonna put on an iron shirt and chase the devil out of earth. I'm gonna send him to outer space to find another race. I'm gonna send him to outer space.
It's time for the 95 BFM Entertainment Guide. That was the 95 BFM Entertainment Guide.
Okay. You know what? This is a good song. This is Hex with Page of Pentacles.
Good guy coming up soon.
Unwrap some cards from silken scales and drew your path. The fallen summertime becomes a hangman by the
It's time for the 95 BFM Entertainment Guide.
First the worst, second the best, third the golden eagle. Sorry about that mess up before, you guys. It's Monday. Anyway, Tuesday.